Welcome to this episode of ICMA's Local Gov Life. I'm your host, Erica White. This season, we're sharing stories of crisis and resilience. From natural disasters to acts of violence, local government leaders are on the front line, responsible for guiding the staff and community through the crisis and its aftermath. These powerful stories are told by the people who lived and led through them. Today's episode features Patrick Malone, a faculty member at American University's Department of Public Administration and Policy, and a frequent contributor to PM Magazine on the topic of leadership. While he doesn't get into the nuts and bolts of disaster recovery, he shares a few inspirational thoughts on resilient leadership in the wake of 9/11.
Autumn has always been my favorite season. There's something about the change of weather, the cooler temperatures, and the earthy colors that has always appealed to me. Maybe it's because I grew up in Texas and we didn't have that many cool months. I remember one morning many years ago, and it was a pristine fall morning. I was on my way to work. I was driving up the George Washington Parkway here in Washington, D.C., and I made special note of the sky. It was as blue as I had ever seen it. And despite kind of a blinding low sunshine, it's getting into the fall and the sun's kind of blinding, but it was still a beautiful day and the air was crisp and you almost felt like you could really reach up and just touch the sky. When I arrived in the office that morning, it looked like it was going to be a normal day in the Navy Medicine Department, but all that changed and it changed very quickly. I had been there for just a few minutes when the news broke that a jetliner had crashed into one of the World Trade Center towers in New York City. All of our senior leadership were in the morning meeting at the time, so I made my way to the adjoining building where I passed a note to the Navy Surgeon General who was chairing the meeting. I left immediately in order to get back to the office and try to follow the latest updates. Within minutes, all of the senior leaders in the Navy Medical Department showed up and the decision was quickly made that we were under attack and we would need to evacuate the 7 buildings located on our compound. We were, incidentally, on the highest piece of landmass in downtown D.C., right across from the State Department, near the Kennedy Center, and we ran building to building, shouting as we entered to clear the building and to get out, to get home. At one point, as I was exiting one of the buildings very near the State Department, right off of 23rd Street, I heard a loud bang. I ran down the hill toward the State Department to see if I could see what had happened and looked up and down the street. But I didn't see anything, and it was only much later that I realized that what I had actually heard was the echo of the jetliner that crashed into the side of the Pentagon. With all the staff having evacuated the compound, the Surgeon General and his immediate team met in his office. We stood there and looked out the window, silent, watching the Pentagon, a Pentagon that was literally on fire. And the quietness in the room, the stillness, was really overwhelming. At some point, we all sat down and the Surgeon General looked at us and uttered one simple phrase that I'll never forget. He said simply, "The world will never be the same." For several days, we were all in shock. But if there was one good thing that came out of this tragedy, it was a bonding in our common mission. As leaders, we all seemed to work together more closely and more intimately, more personally than ever before. We cared for each other. It seemed like there must have been something else at stake, perhaps something we didn't realize before. In the blink of an eye on the morning of September 11th, everything changed. The world was never the same, but we all seemed bound inextricably to a new future and a new focus on caring for one another as we achieved our mission. In the subsequent weeks and months and even years, it felt as if our calling was greater than before. For amidst the tragedy of the loss of 2,996 souls, there was hope for a better world and a fierce resolve to make it happen. Thousands of men and women in the uniformed services and many, many more in other departments of the federal government and at all levels of public service have since stood together with even more determination and focus on keeping our nation safe. But somehow the connection just feels a little closer, a little more personal. The potential for tragic loss is only one millisecond away, so maybe we appreciate things a little more. From a leadership perspective, this always reminds me of how, when it came down to it, we were all bound at a much more personal level than just simply achieving our work goals. To this day, I meet people on a regular basis who lost friends and family members in New York, in Washington, in Pennsylvania. The nation we know today, where it is safe to travel, is a result of the leaders of our public service and the work they do to keep our nation safe. Public servants are the ones that are protecting the homeland, making our water drinkable, ensuring that commerce flows freely, and any number of important and often forgotten jobs that make it safe to be an American citizen. And now, more than ever, our public service is being asked to do more with less, sometimes far less. Elected officials demand more, and citizens expect more. There was a gentleman named Dan Finn, who was a terrific public servant that worked in the Kennedy administration, went on to be a professor and scholar, and a staunch defender of the public service, and he once posed the following question. He said, "Where did the American people ever get the idea that figuring out how many blue chips to put into laundry powder so it could be called new swish and increasing point-of-sale purchases is more important than keeping the nation and our homes safe and mapping the oceans and managing the infrastructure of a free society and providing food and housing and caring for the most vulnerable among us, all the tasks to which public servants devote their minds and hearts?" It's a terrific quote. When I look out into the community where I live and in my commute to and from my job, I see people who are part of our government that are doing amazing things to effectively implement public policy. I see friends of the public service who work tirelessly to support the goals and the mission of serving our nation. And when disaster strikes, it's our public service that answers the call. Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Maria, these were not the first tests of the Trump administration. Far from it. They were testaments, not tests. They were testaments to the work of the men and the women in the public service in Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico. It is the men and women of the public service, no matter what agency, contributing in meaningful ways to relief efforts, some even taking details from their current jobs in order to do so. You know, journeys are a wonderful thing. When you go on a journey, it is by definition a foray into the unknown. There's fear, there's uncertainty, and it takes courage to move forward. As a public servant, it takes courage to move forward. As a public servant, it takes courage to get up and do the work that you do, despite criticism from elected officials, criticism from the media, and ignorance of many American citizens as to the impact of the work that goes on in the public side. But since 9/11, it just feels different. It feels like public servants are bound just a little more closer, taking care of one another, looking out for one another. Indeed, our nation is in great hands. Our public servants deliver democracy and deliver civilization to Americans every single day. We couldn't be more blessed.
That's our show for today. Share your thoughts about the episode by leaving a comment at icma.org/podcasts. Subscribe now on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a rating. Also, please share on social media and tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening to this episode of ICMA's Local Gov Life.